When it comes to Christmas time, what has been the most disappointing gift that you have received for Christmas? Does anybody want to share? Sorry? A toothbrush. Maybe that might have been a gift for everybody else. So, I don't know about you, but when I think back as a kid, one of my disappointing gifts that I received was a radio-controlled car. It was a nice blue Porsche 911. But the problem with this radio-controlled car is that it could only go forwards and backwards. It had this kind of like a clicker, and you pressed it once, and it would go in a straight line. You pressed it twice, and then it would reverse, and it would actually then turn at like a 90-degree angle. And when I saw this, it was like, first of all, it was like, oh, a radio-controlled car. But then when I got it out and it started to operate, it was just kind of like, man, it's not a real radio control car. It can only go forwards and it can only go backwards. And I must say, I was disappointed. Hey? I just hope my mom doesn't get to hear this recording of the sermon this evening, because I think she'll be pretty disappointed. But that's just how savage we can be sometimes. We can be so ungrateful. We don't realize just the cost and the sacrifice that our parents go to actually get us our gifts. And it's also not like my parents were rolling in the cash either. So for them, it was a sacrifice. You know, sometimes we are like that, eh? We are ungrateful. And also there's this sense of entitlement. You know, I believe that I deserve something better than this. Because I believe that I deserve something better than this. But you know, don't ask me why I deserve something better than this. You know, maybe I'm just talking about myself here this evening. So Christmas time, is it all about the gifts? Is it all about the gifts? And the answer to that question is, yes, it is. And rightly so. What would Christmas be without all the gifts? The giving of gifts and the receiving of gifts. But just as long as the gifts are worthy of the recipient. Just as long as your gift is worthy of the recipient. And so it takes us to a question. What gift are you worthy of receiving? What gift are you worthy of receiving? And this is the whole intent of why we celebrate Christmas, is it not? That it is a reminder to us of what we really deserve. Christmas time once again gives us this opportunity to contemplate just the enormity of our Lord Jesus Christ's gift to us, which is himself. It is his sacrifice for us. Him leaving the throngs of heaven and the praise that was due to him, and then taking on human likeness. But not only taking on human likeness, I love that vision that Isaiah sees of the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, holy, 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 being praised continuously. And then to think that he comes as a little baby. And I've just seen Steph holding her little one this morning. God, the Creator, comes as that. Boggles the mind. Not only leaving the throngs of heaven, but then to come. And his introduction is via stable. But that's his gift to us, his sacrifice, him coming from heaven to us, taking on human likeness. And in the process, securing our salvation, giving us forgiveness, giving us the faith that we need, adopting us into his family, giving us fellowship with himself, and not only making us friends with him, he makes us co-heirs. Co-heirs. You ever thought of that? You are a co-heir with the Lord Jesus. All that belongs to him belongs to you if you are found in him. And so nothing can compare to this gift in Christ. And also nothing can compare to Christ's incarnation. And it remains one of the most profound events in the history of creation, that the God of all creation would take on the form of the creature and then serve us. It doesn't stop there. He serves us. And then he also saves us. And he does that by becoming our ransom. And the question that comes again to us for this evening is, are you worthy of such a gift? Are you worthy? And so as we reflect on Jesus' amazing gift towards us, we need to be reminded again of our appropriate response. Because we do forget how often what Jesus has done for us. As unworthy as we are, we have received a gift way beyond what we deserve. And our only worthy response is to offer ourselves as an ongoing living sacrifice towards our Lord Jesus. And this is our only acceptable gift to Him. And so back to our main verses for this evening, and we might not think that it is a very Christmassy passage, but what it does for us, it reminds us of why Jesus came into this world and why He infused His eternal being and nature to that of a human nature. And we see that in that verse 45. And Jesus tells us why. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And so whenever we see the images of our Lord Jesus Christ within that manger, the greater reality is that He came to serve and to give His life as a ransom. And so this is the incredible humility and the sacrifice and love of our Lord Jesus, that He would come into this world to serve and to save. And He did this first of all by serving the Father, being completely obedient towards Him. And in doing so, He served you and me by being our perfection. And so then He could serve our greatest need by then paying that price to purchase our freedom. And He did that with His own life. He endured the punishment that we deserved for our sin. And so this profound statement from Jesus about why He came into this world to serve and then to give His life as a ransom, it actually comes after His two disciples ask Him a question. They come with Him with their wish list. And I must say, there's quite an ask. And I'm sure your kids come to you with their wish list. And that too also can be quite an ask sometimes, especially if you're already eating salty crackers, end of the month salty crackers at the beginning of the month. So our first point for this evening is a ridiculous request. And we see that in verses 35 through 37. And Mark tells us there, and James and John's sons of Zebedee came and asked Him, Teacher, we want You to do for us whatever we ask. And as I said, it's like us having our Christmas list. And I'm sure I've got mine, hey? New squash shoes, a new set of tires all around for the vehicle. In fact, maybe just a whole new car. Maybe some new sunnies, some more fishing gear for Transcar. Clothes, you know, socks and underpants, because those are... Pastors actually do wear holy clothing. So. But the list can go on, doesn't it? And so when we see these two disciples come to the Lord Jesus, it's a ridiculous request. How cheeky of them. And also make sure to ask the question, what was going through their mind? You know, what kind of discussion were they having at home as brothers, especially with their mom? You know, maybe when should we go and ask Jesus to ask Him to put us on the left and the right of Him? But anyway, they come and they ask the Lord Jesus. And they come and say, Jesus, we've got a proposition for You. We want You to give us an unlimited gift card. Give us that blank check. And so that we can write on it any amount that we want, and then we can purchase anything that we want to choose because we say so. There's like no authority there at all, and no reasoning behind it. It's actually just quite ridiculous. So we want You to do for us whatever we ask, and we don't even need to tell You beforehand what it is because we believe that we are entitled to it. I'm entitled. And so the level of selfishness is mind-boggling. It's actually quite embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And so not only is their request ridiculous, it's incredibly heartless as well. It's heartless. And the reason why I say it's heartless is because Jesus just told them for the third time that He's going to die. He's already told them that when they get to Jerusalem, things are really going to get out of hand. Things are going to get heated. The religious leaders want to get rid of Him because they've had enough of Him. And so there's already the plan in motion to get Him arrested, with the intent to get Him crucified, and to rid themselves of Him. But all of this just seems to go over the head of the disciples. And to them, something like this could never happen. How on earth could this happen? How can it happen? And so they come to the Lord Jesus, James and John, and they instead just see this gap as an opportunity, and they come with their request. Can we sit on your left and right? Can we have places of power and honor? Can we have the places of power and honor? And they do this before anybody else can. You know, they're just like the kids, you know, when they run to the car, books the front seat. Or as soon as you get home, like, books the shower first. That's what these guys are doing. It's like, books that place first. And so their eyes are fixed on themselves, and they're unwilling to hear what Jesus is saying. In fact, they don't want to hear, because they think Jesus' suggestions, that's ridiculous. The only thing on their mind is to try and bend Jesus' will to their own. And the question that comes here to us now is this not us? Is this not us? How often do we live our lives in the same type of mindset? Lord, we want you to do this for us. Whatever we ask. We have our own wish list for life. And all too often we've got very little room for the will of God. Lord, I want you to do this for me. And how often do we respond to, Kurt, I've got this for you to do, but I'm too busy. You see, if we're not living like this, where my wish list is becoming Jesus' wish list, you see, then life is actually going to be very disappointing. Because I'm then going to be kicking against the goads. You see, it also makes us ask the question is, how Christ-centered is our Christmas? How Christ-centered is your Christmas when it comes to it? Is it about the Lord Jesus? Or is it about the prezzies? As I said, it is about the prezzies. But which ones? It's the ones that have eternal value. Our second point, a gracious response. 38 through to 43. And so after listening to James and John and their request, Jesus actually responds very, very graciously towards them. And he gently rebukes them. Obviously for their pride and their selfishness, and their verse 38, and Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking for. You don't know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism which I will be baptized? And so we need to understand both James and John, they are believers, but they are still growing in their faith. They're growing in their understanding of who the Lord Jesus is and his kingdom and actually what he's come to do. And them themselves, they are still battling their own pride. Still battling their own selfishness, and there's still this deeply ingrained materialistic view of life. And there's also this desire to have the easy life. And aren't we all like that? Don't you desire the easy life? Life is hard. It's tough. This is what they want. It's a selfish request. And that's the thing. They have lived a hard life. And it wasn't an easy time for them to live. Especially under Roman occupation. And the thing about these two disciples, along with Peter, they've seen Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, him reveal his glory. Could you imagine what an amazing sight that must have been? It was both glorious and terrifying, a privileged moment. And that should have caused them to exalt Jesus and to listen to him, because that's what the voice said, listen to him. Listen to my son. But you see, what they want is Jesus to listen to them. And you see, they want a piece of his glory for themselves. We've seen your glory, but we want some of that for ourselves. We want the power and the prestige. But Jesus is willing to gently teach them. And it's not an easy lesson to learn, but the Lord will help them. And that's why Jesus asked them the question, are you able to drink the cup? And so Jesus knows that his pathway to the throne and his ultimate exaltation is through the cross. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, a spiritual domain, where he reigns over his redeemed people. And the only way for him to have a redeemed people is for them to be saved, for them to be forgiven, for them to be cleansed and purified. And he will do this through himself, as he offers up himself. He is our substitute. He is our atoning sacrifice. He's the one who makes peace with God the Father on our behalf. And so he will bear the wrath of God the Father, and he alone can drink the cup of the Father's divine wrath. And that's why he says, are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I experience? Can you handle the full fury and the wrath of God? Can you drink it all? Are you able to endure the full immersion under God's rightful, righteous anger? Can you take it all? And when we go from the manger to the cross, and it was, as we see that darkness for those 3 hours, our Lord Jesus endured, our eternal Lord Jesus endured the eternal punishment that you and I should have endured. What a gift. What a gift. It's a beautiful gift. Our Christ in the manger is our Christ on the cross. We come back to these two disciples. Instead of them humbling themselves and thinking about what they're really asking for, they push on with their request. Yes, we can. And the reality is that when the time came for them to stand up for Jesus, they all ran away. But later on, Jesus strengthened them and equipped them for the ministry at hand. We even see the other ten disciples, well, they hear the request and they respond indignantly. And their response is also hypocritical as well. Hey? Because there Jesus says, to sit on my right hand, on my left, it's not mine to grant. It is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the ten heard it, they became indignant at James and John. And now the other ten, they are super upset with James and John. Mostly because they didn't get to ask first. You know, they got in there before what we did. So anyway, so they're very upset. So now Jesus has to deal with all 12 of them. And he has to teach them what it looks like to be important within his kingdom. If you want to be in a place of importance, you've got to learn to serve. He says, this is not to be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all. You want to be great, you want to please the Father, then you need to be a servant. You need to be a servant of all. And a servant does what? He serves. He gives people what they need. And people need what the most? They need to hear the gospel. And so, Christmas time, for you as you celebrate Christ coming in, is an opportunity for you to share the gospel. Serve by becoming a slave to all. And Jesus himself is the perfect example of this. He shows what true servanthood looks like. He shows us what real slavery looks like. And there, verse 45 again. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. And so just some closing thoughts for us this evening. Ransomed. If you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been ransomed. And that word ransom means that a price has been paid to free a slave. You've been freed to do what? Serve your master, the Lord Jesus. And what is the price that Jesus paid? We get that from Philippians. And though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It's incredible. The glory of heaven to the curse of a cross. It's miles apart. Who would have thought? But because he did this, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. I hope you honor Christ's name at Christmas time. His name's in it. So at his name, every knee will bow. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And so that is what we celebrate at this time. The Son of Man coming into this world to serve and to give his life as a ransom. And so our ransom cost our Lord Jesus everything. Yet he gifted it to us through grace and mercy. And so what is our rightful response to such a gift?
Well,
seeing that Jesus came to serve, our response, our exchange of gift, is to serve Him. Serve Him by serving those around us. And to offer up our life as a living sacrifice. Putting the needs of others before our own. Thinking others more important than ourselves. Learning to be a slave to all. Learning that we need to respond to all of those around us as if they were our master. Wow. And then finally, meditate more often on this verse. One of the most profound verses in all of Scripture. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom. So sacrificed for our sin, forsaken in order to achieve our reconciliation, purged to make us clean, died so that we can live, cursed so that we can be blessed, the just for the unjust, the condemned so that we can be redeemed. So never forget these unsearchable truths and teach them to your kids. Teach them to Him. That we are indeed gifted with the greatest gift of all. But it also means that we are indebted to our Lord Jesus Christ in this life and then in the life to come, where we will then finally serve Him perfectly and love Him perfectly. So Christ in the manger is our Lord Jesus on the cross, the Son of Man, who has come to serve and to give His life as a ransom. And so my prayer for you this Christmas is that you would, as a family, embrace this gift and then be forever indebted. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this beautiful gift that You have given to us. May we be reminded. And Lord, now as we watch our kids portray this incredible event, once again, may our hearts be stirred. And in Your name, we ask this and pray this. Amen.